with this classification of stages of mantra recitation. He says that without restraint and without sense of cleanliness and sanitation, if you engage in recitation mantra, such recitation of mantra cannot be counted as pure or good repetitions. That means if you undertake certain recitations without adopting sense of cleanliness and so forth, then you cannot fulfill or complete the necessary numbers. And then when you reach near the temple or your place of meditation, you wash your feet and face yourself towards either east or north and take the meditation seat, and then visualize the actual presence of the deities and pay homage, and then enter into the place of recitation. Om Viraja Viraja Maha Benze Sata Sata Sarata Sarate Traye Traye Virdamani Sambhana Zani Taramati Siddha Agritam Soha. Third outline, blessing and having adopted the necessary costume, blessing and transforming the offerings. So in other words, when you get up early in the morning, you should appreciate that you are still alive, and you should think that I tried my best during the past few days, and today also I will make my day meaningful. What do you mean by making the day meaningful? One can make my life meaningful by clearly understanding the three natures of sufferings, and see the afflictive emotions as your enemies, and realize that so long as you will be under the control of afflictive emotions, you will have no happiness. And just as you are suffering from afflictive emotions, and similar is the case with the sentient beings within the samsara, even in the case of bodhisattvas on pure bodhisattva grounds, even though they are free from manifested afflictive emotions, still they have some kind of defilements as a result of having not improved, having not removed the imprints of mental afflictive emotions. And so you should think that so long as I am unable to free myself from the control of afflictive emotions, I will not have happiness for myself, and I will not be able to help other sentient beings. And therefore, from today, I will endeavor, I will make a start to, I will start the journey from today to enlightenment by performing positive virtuous deeds. And then, as is said by Nagarjuna, remember the qualities of the Buddha, one who moved by compassion, taught the faultless teaching on emptiness. And similarly, the prayers like the one by the second Dalai Lama, the first Dalai Lama, is very powerful, where he says that may I never be separated from the Bodhicitta for many lives to come. And likewise, the prayer from the Bodhicaryavatara, which says, as long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain to remove the sufferings of these sentient beings. And then after that, of course, you take bath, as we discussed here. And then you should recite, during that you should recite the mantra of Nam Jomma. And likewise, there are ways to bless your speech. And what is most important is setting up your motivation. And then you enter into the actual session of meditation. And then if you are too hungry, then again drink a cup of tea. Otherwise, you should start your session. When I was a child, I was told a story. There were four people undertaking some meditation at a place called Gyalpo Chok. So they undertake the morning session, and there was one monk who was always hungry and worried about when would the tea will come. And then his other three friends, they got very tired about his behavior, got sick of his behavior. And then they caught hold of this third meditator and rolled him in a mat. And the next day when the tea was coming, even though as usual he was very angry and hungry also, but still he would try to laugh and smile for fear of the other three meditators. So after taking the bath, the next practice is doing the meditation. So therefore, the third outline here in the text deals with blessing the offerings after sitting on the meditation seat. And so here one should put scented water on in your hand, the palm of your hand, and then recite the mantra of any of the three lineage deities, and then sprinkle that water on your crown, on your head. And it is in this way that you should purify the pollutions. And then using a kusha grass, etc., we should purify the meditation seat. And then on the meditation seat, you should sit either in a lotus posture, or in the vajra posture, or in the auspicious posture. And then on the wrist of the right hand, you should tie a circlet. And then on the ring finger of the right hand, you should tie a purifying substance like a kusha grass, and then you should also tie a piece of red silk and an image of a crown, as we discussed earlier. The circlet here refers to a circlet of threads, uneven number of threads rolled and spun together by a gun. And then you also put different knots having unequal numbers, and then in the center of that thread you should tie one bead of rosary symbolizing the particular lineage, and then recite the individual mantra Om Ruru Purunjaladita Siddha Lozane Sarva Arta Sadhane Soha. Then after that you should prostrate to the Buddha Dharma Sangha and prostrate to Avalokiteshvara, the great Bodhisattva, and then you should pray that whoever sees you, hears you, touches you, remembers you, that you become a source of nourishment for all those who are suffering from all types of sickness. And then recite this mantra, Deyatha Kati Vikati Kamkati Kata Vikati Kamkati Bhagavati Vijaya Soha, and also the mantra Om Kulandari Venda Venda Hongpe. So these are respectively the mantras of Tathagata, the lineage of Tathagata, Lotus and Vajra, and the benefits of these recitations are explained by Susidhi in his text called Classifying the Stages of Discipline of the Knowledge Mantra. So benefits are that you will not be overpowered by evil forces, and by reciting these mantras you will quickly actualize accomplishments, and these recitations will also become purifying substances. So recite the purifying mantra Jina Jaki Arulik Vajradik, and then make offerings and undertake recitations and perform offerings. And then one should invite a deity similar as one has imagined oneself, and recite mantra Om Dunavatarha. And if it is on the occasion of consecration, then recite this mantra 1,000 times, and on other occasions recite 7 times, and then invoke the blessing of the Tathagata and requesting him to help you to perform all activities. And then the fourth outline is protecting oneself and the place. And in order to remove the obstructing factors of one's body, you should observe the mantric mudras or symbols as explained earlier, or whatever mantras you know, you should recite them and protect yourself. And then after that, you should recite the mantra of any of the three lineages, or the mantra of Kundali, which is Namo Renatayaya, etc. And then charge water through recitation of these mantras, and then sprinkle the water upon yourself and remove the obstructing factors. And the mantras of all actions in relation to the three Buddhas are Om Trambendra Soha, Om Namo Mahashriyai, Om Me Siddhi Siddhi Sodaya, Shivi Shivam Kari, Abhaya Sarva Artha Sadhane Soha, Om Kili Kila Benza Hong Pe. So these are respectively the all action mantras of the three Buddha lineages. And then next, in order to protect the place, you should visualize the wheel of protection by reciting the mantra Om Kili Kila Benzin Benze Dara Benda Benda Hong Pe. And then by reciting this mantra, charge the water through reciting this mantra 7 times. And then sprinkle the water towards all directions. The mantra cited above, you should think that that you strike the wrathful Vajra peg towards the evil forces, and these evil obstructions become fixed. And then next is holding the mudra of the fences by reciting the mantra Namo Renna Taya Nama Senda Vajrapanaya Mahayakshasena Patya Deyatom Sarasara Vajra Prakara Humpe. And through reciting this mantra, imagine that you are completely protected by Vajra fences. And then you should again hold the mudra of the fence downwards and circle it and recite the mantra Namo Renna Trayaya Namatsenda Benzarpanaya Mahayakya Sinapadaya Om Vesput Raksha Vajrapani Hongpe. And through reciting this mantra, imagine that a Vajra tent is formed. And then recite the mantra of mantra of Kundali and the mantra Klikili, and then bless and transform. So in other words, this whole part deals with the visualization of wheel of protection. So irrespective of how elaborate the text or prayer may be, but here you are meditating on the wheel of protection.
Dhani Jyapsun Che Dhaka Che So Che Sunam Che Dula Pe Che San Che Dhaka Che Vata Kama Ma Hen Che San Che Dhaka Che So Che Dhaka Che San Che Sunam La San Che Bata Dhani Jyapsun Che Dhaka Che Nye
For the sake of all suffering mother sentient beings, I will achieve enlightenment, and for that sake I will receive the tantric initiation. With that kind of motivation you should listen to this tantric empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
emanation of flares of light from the syllable Hri at his heart and invites all the wrathful deities. To send away all the negative obstructing evil forces. To examine the dreams, and out of the four parts of the night, the dream that you would get during the last part of the night, that is at the time of the dawn, could have sometimes meaning. So it is in this way, during the time of the dawn, if you get dreams like visiting a temple, seeing lamas and deities, visiting a garden full of flowers with different colors, and so whatever dreams that you get as a result of that dream, when you wake up, if you mentally feel happy and relaxed, then these are good dreams. And then there are other dreams, like even if you see the temple, it is dusty and dilapidated, and even if you get the dream of seeing monks, they lack magnificence and so forth, then these are bad dreams. So whether you have a good dream or bad dream, all the negative experiences that we get are a result of self-grasping, and the best way to remove the grasping at true existence is to meditate on love and compassion and bodhicitta. And because of grasping at true existence and so forth, it is also possible to encounter harms and obstructions from external objects. And and in the case of harms from external sentient beings, the best way to remove them is to meditate on compassion. And in the case of the harming sentient beings, they also harm others by thinking that the object that they are harming is having independent or true existence. And we also see the harming spirit as having independent absolute existence. So now here it is important to examine who is the person or evil force that is harming us, who am I that is being harmed, and what kind of feeling of I that you get when you are in fear, when you are in doubt. When you search such an I or such a harming evil force, you won't find as they appear to us. So the so-called evil forces, whenever we think about an evil force, it is something we tend to see that as something horrible or something negative. Yes, in a way it is negative, but they do not exist as they appear to us. They also do not have absolute existence or existence from their own side. So therefore, if you reflect about their ultimate reality, that is lack of inherent existence, that will help you remove the evil forces. And of course, at a conventional sense, conventional level, there is a harming evil force, and then there are certain beings who are being harmed. But in our case, normally afflictive emotions like hatred, anger, etc. arises because of our having the tendency to grasp at everything as having true existence. So therefore, the best way to remove such external or internal obstructing evil forces is to meditate on the lack of inherent existence of all phenomena. So in this way you should think that the external and internal obstructing forces are being removed. Today we have gathered here to receive the tantric initiation related to the action tantra out of the four classes of tantra, out of which we are receiving the initiation of the Buddha Thamsiksumkyu, which is the main lineage holder of the action tantra. And in the case of those of us, we are all followers of the Buddha, and in the case of our friends, the Taiwanese or the Chinese friends, Buddhism flourished in your country for a long time. And so on such occasions it is important to pray that Buddhism once again flourished in mainland China. And similarly in the case of us, the Tibetans, Buddhism flourished from India to Tibet. And after Buddhism flourished in Tibet, the Tibetans were able to preserve this wonderful tradition of Buddhism that came from Nalanda. In India itself, because of certain internal upheavals and obstructions, and also because of external obstructions and disturbances, Buddhism virtually kind of disappeared from India. And today when you talk about Nalanda, it is nothing but a ruin. And even if you see the whole location around, you will see only the ruins. And even you would find even the meadows or the green grasses around are not properly taken care of or trampled and so forth. And it is only after some time that people started excavating those places, and they were able to find the ruins of Nalanda, Bodhgaya and so forth. During those times, the Tibetans did their best and made the greatest effort to preserve this wonderful tradition that came from India. And we regard Indians as our gurus, and we regard the Tibetans as their chela or their disciple. And when I speak with my Indian friends, I jokingly tell them that we, the Tibetans, as student, fulfilled our task, our responsibility to preserve Dharma. However, in Tibet itself, because of certain upheavals, we are passing through a critical period, and therefore we should pray that Buddhism will be able to flourish like before, once again back in Tibet. So it is in this way we should set up a correct motivation. I once met, had some discussion with Thak Hoai, an elderly Taiwanese monk. When we met here in Dharamsala, we commonly made an expression that in the future we are able to go together to Wutaishan, and there he will recite in Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom, or Mula Madhya Makakarika in Chinese, and I'll recite Nagarjuna's Mula Madhya Makakarika in Tibetan. So that is our common kind of hope and expression that we'll be able to do that one day. In Tibet, there is a great restriction for undertaking any Buddhist practice, and also the remaining few great Lama scholars, Lamas and scholars are passing away. And in fact, just 2-3 days back, a great scholar who was not only scholar but a great practitioner, Shakdong Rinpoche from Amdo, had passed away. And he was someone who had contributed greatly towards flourishment of Buddha Dharma, and a great scholar and practitioner. So he passed away 2-3 days back. Similarly, in the case of Nyingma, the abbot Jigme Penzo is also another Lama from Nyingma who has contributed greatly towards the flourishment of Buddha Dharma, both through his teaching and practice. And he is also now passing through a very difficult time. So here, when we have such a privilege to be able to undertake Dharma practice, at the same time, there is no way we can forget the reality. So therefore, it is important for all of us to pray. And then we have here a large number of our friends from West. And in your case, it is not the question of restoring Buddha Dharma in your country which disappeared or lost before, but you have taken a new kind of interest and you are making great endeavor. So in your case also, it is extremely important to know the essence of Buddha's teaching. And it is also important on your part that after gaining knowledge about the essential messages of Buddha's teaching, you should share it with your other friends who are interested and who did not get such an opportunity. Unfortunately, sometimes it is the tendency of the people to think of Buddhism as something restricted in the Buddhist temples and Buddha images. And similarly, when people think about Christianity, they think about a church and Jesus Christ within. And similarly, when they think about Islam, they think about a mosque and some Islam prayers. And similar is the attitude in the case of the Hinduism. But in reality, whenever we talk about Buddhism or Buddhist teaching, we should be able to immediately think about the Four Noble Truth and so forth. And also when we think about Tibetan Buddhism, Tibetan Mahayana Buddhism, we should be able to immediately think about the teaching of Buddha, including the Tantric teachings. But unfortunately, when people think about Tibetan Buddhism, they immediately think about the different masks and ritual implements. And and also people tend to think that the unique feature of Tibetan Buddhism is to have many recognized reincarnations. That is also wrong, because recognition of reincarnations have become almost like a social status. And when we talk about Buddha's teaching, it refers to the practice of the three trainings and the teachings related to what is contained in the scriptures, and thereby the realizations that is developed within oneself. Buddhism should not be understood as a particular tradition or social habit. And therefore, it is important for those of you who are interested to really know the essential meaning of Buddha's teaching. And of course, I'm not saying that you should try to propagate Buddhism, and I always discourage such activities. And but for those who are interested, it is important to know the essential meaning and to share that meaning to those others who are interested. So in short, as is prayed by Tsongkhapa where he says that may I be able to illuminate the treasure of Dharma teaching of the Buddha and make it available to places where it has not flourished, and also to restore the Buddha's teaching in those places where it has lost. So with that kind of motivation you should listen to the teaching. I have performed my activities to prepare for conferring the initiation, performed the self-generation, consecrating the vows and so forth. And so here you should visualize the main deity, Thubathap Jigsungkhu. So when we talk about this Buddha having the Dharma Mudra, so Dharma Mudra involves both the hands. So imagine both the hands in the Dharma giving gesture, and around him visualize the other four deities. And then imagine that you are now on the eastern door of the mandala. The eastern door of the mandala is right now closed. And then focusing on the main deity, mega mandala offering. So the central deity here is Buddha Thamsiksumgu. And so he should be visualized just like the usual Buddha, with yellow color and one face, two hands, and both the hands are in the gesture of giving the Dharma teaching, and of it with 32 major signs and 80 minor signs, and wearing the religious robe of a fully ordained bhikshu, and sitting in a vajra cross-legged posture. And on his right, you should visualize the bodhisattva called vajra holder. And he has a kind of pale yellowish color, having two hands, the two hands holding vajra, and having the holes folded at his heart. And on the left, you should visualize the bodhisattva called the great vajra holder. His color is yellow, and right hand holding a jewel, and left hand holding a conch. And in front of the right, you should visualize the child called Thaye, in appearing in a wrathful form, having upraised yellow hairs, yellow brown hairs, and his color is red. And his right hand holding a sword prepared from copper, and on the left hand he's holding a kapala filled with flowers. And you might have heard before, normally I say that there are three kind of possible relations between Tulku and Lama, reincarnated being and the Lama. So for example, Tenzin Chamchen, the Taiwanese Venerable Lama, Tenzin Chamchen, he's not a reincarnated person, but he's a kind of Lama because he has been giving teaching to many of his students. On the left, on the front of the left, on a moon seat, you should visualize a girl by the name Tai, and she is in a peaceful form. Her color is green, and her right hand is in the gesture of paying homage to the principal deity, and her left hand is holding a lotus flower. So all of these four retinue deities have one face, two hands, and adorned with silk garments and so forth. So these are the five deities of the mandala. So, mega mandala offering. Imagine that you are on the outside of the eastern door of the mandala. As yesterday, first we make a request or supplication. And in the supplication you are saying that